The birthday of the community church is traditionally celebrated October 16th, starting back in 1892. But the birthday of the church is 50 days after Easter, circa AD 33. And today in the calendar of the church, we celebrate Pentecost. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 2, because here we find how it all happened and when it happened. Jesus has told his disciples that they are to go and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, and let me just slide for a moment into what Pentecost means. Does anybody know what the word Pentecost actually means in terms of figures? Figures? Five, it would be 50 then. So it would be Pentecost. It means 50. And it is 50 days after Easter. Now in the Old Testament there was the Feast of Weeks, which we'll not turn to, but we could if we wanted to extend our time. In Leviticus it says that they are to come and at the Feast of Weeks, which was 50 days. So the Feast of Weeks is very important in the Old Testament days, and it was culminated now. The Feast of Unleavened Bread opened the period of 50 days, and then it was closed by the Feast of Weeks. And it's a great comparison here between the Jesus, who was the bread of life, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, unleavened, no sin, Jesus, no sin, bread of life, and then 50 days later, where we have Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2, the story is that the guys were there. I started to call them kids, but they were probably all teenagers except Simon Peter, probably being 21. But the rest of the disciples were all there. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Tongues of fire. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now the story goes on that they were staying in Jerusalem, people from all kind of nations. And when the Holy Ghost fell upon the disciples, they started speaking in other tongues that were recognizable by these people from all over the world. In verse 13, some made fun of them and said, well, they've gotten drunk. Too much wine. Peter stands up and says, it's too early to be drunk. Here it is early in the morning. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. And this is what was happening on the day of Pentecost. Now, several weeks ago, we studied this a little bit, and we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. With your Bibles turned to, if you will, Galatians chapter 5, we started a series of sermons on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Spirit come about as a result of the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. Our study is about the fruits of the Spirit, and you know how you learned your nursery rhymes? How did you learn them? By repetition? By repetition. So we want to review just a little bit what we looked at on these first lessons. First of all, we talked about love. We said love, the kind of love that God has is agape love. It's strong, ardent, tender, compassionate devotion to someone. And we chose as a fruit the apple of the day, which of course in their day was golden. There are no Washington State red apples in Palestine. We chose apple because we're the apple of God's eye, and he loves us so very much. We tried to motivate you to operate in love that's agape, not love that's physical or family or warm brotherly love. Just move in agape love. That was the first fruit of the Spirit, and it's the most important fruit because these helium-filled balloons piece has gone by the wayside. When I came in this morning, I came in the second time this morning, joy was on the floor too. The only thing was left was love, and that is, remember the scripture, faith, love, and hope. The greatest of these is love. Love. So we had to tie peace and joy on to love, which is very, very symbolic, I think. Then after we looked at love, our next lesson had to do with joy. And a definition of joy is that it's emotional excitement, gladness. It's a delight over blessings received or expected for self and others. And the bottom line was that if our lives are hid with Christ, then afflictions and trials and pressures and frustrations can't destroy us. And we've heard that this morning already. We can be in the storm, but remember, in the middle of a tornado, where is the quietness and the peace? In the very center, in the very eye of it all. So our lesson on joy was to be able to have joy in the midst of all kinds of adverse circumstances. Then we went to peace. And sort of similar, it's the calm and quiet and order which takes place in our soul instead of doubt, fear, and alarm. Paul merged two words in our study. One was from the Greek and one was from the Hebrew. They came together to express total well-being. And the idea was to rejoice in the worst of circumstances and to be convinced, as Paul was convinced, that blessings are going to come from us, from God. And his famous words were, "I've learned in every what state to be content." So in retrospect, those were our studies of love, joy, and peace. Now today we come to two more fruits of the Spirit. And again, we're not talking about gifts. We're talking about fruits. And to get a fruit, you have to go to a fruit tree, and there are certain things that the fruit tree has got to be involved in if it's going to bear the fruit. To begin with, it's got to be in the right soil, and it's got to be developed. And what we're saying is that these gifts of love, joy, and peace that we've looked at are just not going to poop on our tree, because we are trees of righteousness. Just like the bad fruits are not going just to appear unless we nurture them and walk in them and wield these bad fruits. So we have the bad fruit tree and we have the good fruit tree. And the good fruit tree is bearing love, joy, and peace. And then today we're going on our third lesson to look at fruit number 4 and fruit number 5. And what is fruit number 4 in your Bibles? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Long-suffering. Does anybody have another one? Beside long-suffering, patience. And there again, patience is not... Got to be patient. If anybody thinks a negative thought, remember, you cried too when you were young. Nobody exempted. Okay, patience and loving and long-suffering. Well, you think joy can hold patience up too, or long-suffering? It's a real task, but we'll see. The balloons, because this is a birthday celebration. Now, it is. It's not on the ground. It's being helped up by love. Now, one of you said in the group, the fruit that we look at was long-suffering. Somebody else said patience. Well, in looking at these different Bibles in my office, because if I said it was long-suffering, you may say, well, my Bible says patience. Now, the NIV that I'm using has patience. But you can see on the left, the Greek word is long-suffering. You just can't get around that. If we're going to look at God's word, we have to look at the Greek word, which was long-suffering. But you can see on the right-hand column the different words that have been used for long-suffering, and rightly so, because of what patience means and what long-suffering means. Now, I know Patty has the Amplified. I know most of you have the NIV. Gene's got the King James. Any other translations that you have, I'm sure, are up there. I've chosen a fruit, and the fruit that I've chosen for long-suffering is the mulberry. I chose the mulberry because it is called the weeping tree. Now, when we're involved in long-suffering, what do we often do? We often weep. Blackberries, pardon me, This is a blackberry because I didn't have time to fly to Israel to get a mulberry. So I let the cat out of the bag. But you would never know if I hadn't told you, would you? Okay. Mulberries are black or white. They come from a tree called the mulberry tree. And most of them are black. And the definition is that they look very close to the blackberry, hence the blackberry. You cut the bark of the tree and you'll find a very nice juice comes out, which will refresh you. Long-suffering amid trials can be refreshing, and we chose this fruit simply because of the weeping tree. Now, there's a story in the Old Testament about long-suffering, and it comes from 2 Samuel. It has to do with what God has said to David to do. God tells David in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 24, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 24, "When you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you." Now, we're talking about the gift of long-suffering, which also is patience. Now, God is saying to David, you have patience, and you will just stand there ready to go, and you will hear the sound of the wind going through the mulberry tree. In the upper room, what did the guys hear? The sound of the rushing wind. And they moved. In this story in 2 Samuel, God says, David, you are to sit still and wait patiently, or have long suffering, until you hear the sound through the mulberry branches. And when you hear, then you will know that it is time to go forth and win the victory. And he had to be patient. And the sound that went through was like the going forth of a mighty army. Hence, we've chosen the mulberry. And we're talking about long suffering. Long suffering literally means, check this out, long of nose. Long of nose. Why does it mean long of nose? It means long of nose or short of nose, because how many of you have ever been really mad and you did something like this? Oh, I'm so mad. You know? Through your nostrils you breathe, and if you have a long nose or a short nose, not in terms of inches, but in terms of attitude, you would have long suffering if you were long of nose. If you were short, what's the other word? Boy, he's short-tempered. He's got a short fuse. Okay, long-suffering means long of nose. And Paul is saying that one of the fruits of the good tree, the fruits of the Spirit, is this long nose, long-suffering. It's opposite of the shortness, forbearance, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. And when it is applied to God, it is applied in a sense that God is saying, hey, I've got a long nose toward the sin of Neil Carlson and the sin of each one of you. What the word says, I'm slow to wrath or anger, equating the fact that God is long-suffering. The scripture says he's long-suffering, but it is also an attribute that God wants us to have. I want to be more patient. I say patient instead of long-suffering because the balloon says patient. And I can identify with patience. I'm ill patient, or I've got patience. When I say long suffering, it sort of moves into a different category, at least to me. But it means the same, long suffering or patience. What I want to do is to motivate you, dear people, to be able this week to live your life in such a way that you are exemplifying fruit. You can pick off of your tree the fruit of patience. You will be patient when things happen to you. And it is not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy to be patient and to endure offenses. It is not easy to be patient and endure injuries or threats or condemnation of other people. It is not easy to do this, is it? Without murmuring, resenting, complaining, or grumbling. But God wants us to have long sufferings in all of these things. He wants us to have patience. Scripture says you've heard of the patience of Job in Hebrews. Well, the word is not really patience. It's the word endurance. He was able to endure. But the idea is what we want to do is to try to emulate Job through all of his difficulties, offenses, injuries, threats, and condemnation of others, as Job indeed had. He did not retaliate as he could have. So I think, what are some of the offenses that have come my way? Or to be more specific, what about some of the offenses that have come your way this past week, where you work, or where you live? What about injuries that have come your way? Maybe you've gotten threats. Maybe you've had condemnation of other people. In all of these things, God is saying, accept it long-sufferingly, with a long nose, without murmuring. Oh, I have really murmured a lot, haven't you? And of course, none of you have ever complained.
Never.
None of you have ever been have resentment. And none of you have ever grumbled. But this is what God is saying. He wants you to be long-suffering and endure all of these things, long-suffering without murmuring, resentment, complaining, or grumbling. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work. Long-suffering or patience, let it have its perfect work. And people, the idea here is that we are bearing a terrific load upon our shoulders, but we're not to remain stationary. We are to move even with the load, and we are to exercise energy, even though we are told to let patience have its perfect work. We are to be moving because there is no passive endurance in our life. No passive endurance. So let patience have its perfect work. Patience. I'm reminded of a person who wanted to be a missionary, and they were having an interview with this guy. The man who was doing the interview said, I want you to come at exactly 7 o'clock sharp to my office. The guy came. He was met by the interviewer, and the guy said hello. They shook hands. He said, sit down. I'll be back in a little bit. Yes. 4 hours later, he came back to this guy. The guy was sitting there, what? Basically, long-suffering, just sitting there. And the guy said, and the interviewer said, do you know your name? Can you write your name? Yes. I'll be back. Left. Came back an hour later. Said, you have got the job. He was telling the other guy, well, how in the world did you get this guy just by doing what you did? And he said, first of all, I made him wait 4 hours. 4 hours I made him wait. And he waited patiently. Then I came back and I insulted him. And he took the insult without fighting back, without, you know, retaliating in any way. And he said, if a person can answer abuses and long-suffering or patience with fortitude and with love, he says, then you can depend upon it. Christ's love has conquered his soul. Christ's love has got his heart. And Christianity will be, as he becomes a missionary, validated by the quality of his character. Now that's long-suffering. And God is asking us to have long-suffering. And when you go through long-suffering, there may be weeping, but God says be patient, and it's from the weeping tree. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's patience. And you just can't go and say, oh, I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to buy patience. You can't do it that easily. You've got to let it grow in your heart. However, you do have to pay a price for it, because you can't go to Safeway and just get all the fruits that you want without paying for them. So we have to pay the price of developing and growing this fruit by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Okay, the next fruit in Galatians 5:22 is what? What? Gentleness? Anybody else have another one? Don't ask me why. You may ask why. Why is it that kindness is making it and patience didn't? Okay, let's look at these words. Because you said kindness and somebody else said what? Gentleness. All right. The reason for that is the reason for that is different translations have different words. Now, again, the right column, top of the line would be kindness in capital letters. That's what the Greek and the left-hand column says. It is kindness. But you'll see all those translations on the left-hand side have been translated on the right column. But most of the time, kindness does come up. Kindness does come up. What fruit do you think I'm going to use? Well, what about this? Fig. Why in the world would I choose? And believe me, these are all original. Nobody has ever done something like this, I'm sure. Why did I choose a fig tree? I chose the fig and what it represents as far as kindness is concerned because of the kindness that God has exemplified to us in many ways. Single or in small groups, the fig tree grows. 20 or 30 feet tall, the fig tree grows. Produces fruits three or four times a year. But the scripture says in 1 Kings 4, it has a reference about the fig tree growing close to the house. It also great shade, which in a way was a kindness of the tree to a person wanting the shade from the hot sun. But the trees that grew next to the house seemed to bear fruit throughout the entire year. And the fruit was used fresh or made into cakes of figs. Nathanael was under what kind of a tree when Jesus called him? Do you remember? A fig tree. How could you not know? He was under a fig tree when he was called. And it was a valuable produce of the promised land. When the spies went into the promised land, they brought back among certain fruits, they brought back the fig because it was just a beautiful thing. And In the book of Genesis, what do you recall about the fig tree? About fig leaves, covering. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they took what kind of leaves? They didn't take mulberry leaves. They took fig leaves. Why did they take fig leaves? But how big are those fig leaves? They're pretty big. But do you know that there are, in the species of fig trees, a particular tree, I'm glad you're sitting down for this, that has a leaf that is 3 to 5 feet tall and up to 3 feet wide. Aren't you glad you came to church today to know that? So it has been used for aprons, and even the difference between the California fig and a Palestinian longer fig, but it was used for that. But I use it to emphasize our study today on kindness, because in Psalm 117:2, merciful kindness is great toward us from God. And these leaves are so large, it's just saying, God's kindness toward me. It's not little like a mulberry leaf, but it is quite large. And the leaf's shaped in the heart, isn't it? Do you see the heart? It sort of wilted a little bit, but you can see the heart with the different lobes on it. Okay, it's the heart. God's heart for us. His heart is so kind toward us. And so gentle toward us. And it also speaks to me in Song of Songs when the shepherd, that is the beloved, calls to the Shunammite woman, to the lover, he says, come to me. As the fig tree is putting forth the first figs, that's the sign. I want you just to come to me right now. I'm extending my kindness. I am reaching out to you. Like Jesus reaches out to us with arms this wide, saying, this is how big my kindness is toward you. It's the reaching out. Jeremiah 24, 5 and 6. Listen, if you will. Jeremiah 24, 5 and 6. This, and the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Babylonians. My eyes will watch over them for their good. We're talking about the kindness of God and why I chose figs. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I'll build them up and not tear them down. I'll plant them and not uproot them. I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They'll be my people, and I'll be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. He's talking about the good figs. He also says that the poor figs are bad. They cannot even be eaten. But But God's goodness is extended to the people here. It's so great. The goodness is so great. So we have kindness, a fruit. And the kindness is defined as this. It's a disposition to be gentle, soft-spoken, even-tempered, refined in character and conduct. In other words, in trying to define kindness, it is usefulness. So that's sort of like it, sort of where it comes down and focuses in on us today. We want to try to develop some kindness fruit, some fruit that's kind in usefulness to our fellow man, to our enemies, to our family, to our friends, to ourselves. It means to bend low, to condescend. And that will make you great, because the scripture says in Psalm 18:35, thy gentleness has made me great, thy kindness has made me great. Kindness, the idea of bending low to do something. I saw a billboard last year. It said, a man is never so tall as when he kneels. I forgot what to do. The prayer to help a child. That's when we're tall, man. And to condescend, to help our fellow man is so important. And God is asking us to try to develop this fruit of kindness, believe it or not, to our enemies. Now, that's not natural. We'll punch their lights out, what we want to do. But God says, no, instead of punching the lights, you pick a fruit. And you pick this fruit of kindness to your enemies and to your family. Do you know, let me tell you the people that I am the meanest to and the ugliest to and the rottenest to. And two of them are sitting right here this morning. That's who I am that way to. But to Mrs. Campbell, I am so nice when I'm with you and to people. And maybe one or two of you are feeling the same way. We are always the worst to the people who mean the most. We're always the ugliest to the people to who we should be the tenderest and the kindest to. That's the way it is. And why am I that way? Why can I be a bear at home and a blessing out in the street? Why? Because I got it made. I got it made. They're not going to do anything to me. But if I was a bear to you, you may retaliate. You could do all kinds of things. A couple hundred of you could quit coming to church and quit giving. You could do all kinds of things. But see the point I'm trying to make? Let's pick the fruit. Let's just try to pick this fruit of kindness. Because you know, people, life does not afford many opportunities for us to do great things for a great number of people. It's those little things. It's the one or two little things. And there's scarcely an hour of the day that does not afford us an opportunity of performing little things. It may be unnoticed, but it's the kindness, the fruit that God wants us to have. Now, kindness does not require us to live in some kind of fantasy land, to be blind to facts, but it does require us to cherish a habit of goodwill, ready to show love and piety if sorrow does appear, and slow to turn a wrath towards somebody else, even if there's hostility involved. It's just showing good kindness. So you won't have many opportunities this afternoon to show a lot of kindness, but you can show a little kindness to the people that you meet. So the guy in Shanghai was noticing another man who was walking around town, and when they were pulling their, what do you call them? Rickshaws? They call them coolies too, or something like that? Okay, the coolie's pulling. Well, the coolie was having trouble with his rickshaw, because on flat surfaces, it was easy as pie, just going along the way. But then when you go up over the bridge, it was very difficult to pull the load. And so this guy was observing the other fella who would come up beside the coolie and help him with his rickshaw, bearing other one's burden. Does that come to anybody's mind? Okay, it was showing kindness. And we got to the top, he could tell that he was saying something, and then he would just walk around town, looking around for the little kindness that he could do. Finally, he was approached by the man and said, what are you doing? I mean, I know what you're doing, but why are you doing it? And he said, you know, I've learned that if I can show a little kindness to people, like for example what I'm doing, that when I get that rickshaw up to the top, I'll have a time and an opportunity to tell the man about Jesus. And this is what I do. I tell people about Jesus. I get them in a place where I've helped them, and then before I leave, I say, you know, I've showed kindness to you because God has showed great kindness to me, and I want to show you kindness. I want to tell you about Jesus and what Jesus can do for you. Now, this is not a great big act that this guy did, but it was a little act that was greatly blessed by God. The Bible's full of examples of man showing kindness. Trust me, without reading. But God has showed his kindness to us, too. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness. So people, by your fruits, you will know them. Say it with me. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. And kindness. And it's a great job for our love to hold up these others. If we didn't have love in our heart, it probably wouldn't work too much on the others. In fact, we may even sort of be in a position where we were not producing. So in conclusion, let me ask this. How is your fruit productivity? How is your fruit productivity? I see the guy at Safeway every now and then spraying, arranging, and fixing up. We've got to do that too. By your fruits you will know them. And I have four scriptures to read as we close. In unfruitfulness, which perhaps at times we are involved in, Matthew 3:10 tells us that divine judgment will be visited upon us. Unfruitfulness. Just say four things about unfruitfulness. First of all, divine judgment will be visited. Matthew 3, verse 10 says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be what? And thrown into the fire. Cut down and thrown into the fire. Unfruitfulness. First of all, divine judgment is visited. Therefore, we must produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Chapter 3, verse 8. Secondly, worldliness is a cause for unfruitfulness. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, 22. Worldliness is a reason that we're not producing the fruit as we should. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word. It fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 130 or 60 times as the swung. You're not even, you know, I'm sort of like, let's go back to the verse I asked you to read. Okay, I was trying to find it while I was reading. Here, it's in verse 22. We're talking about worldliness is a cause for unfruitfulness. Matthew 13, 22. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it what? Unfruitful. So unfruitfulness, we've seen, first of all, divine judgment is visited. Secondly, worldliness is a cause. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 6, it's going to result in the master's disappointment. Luke 13, verse 6. He told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, you know, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? So what we've read just shows the disappointment of the master when he comes to me. He looks at my fruit orchard and he sees that I'm not producing the fruit that he wants me to produce. And it will end in final rejection. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8. It will end in final rejection. That is unfruitfulness. Hebrews 6, 8. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. So as we observe our trees, we have four things here. Divine judgment is going to be visited if we're not producing the fruits. Worldliness is a cause for not producing the fruits. It's going to result in God being very disappointed in us. And then, of course, it will end in final rejection. So we are the trees of the Lord, are we not? Galatians chapter 5 speaks of the good tree and the bad tree. The bad tree bears, I think, like 17 bad fruits. The good tree bears 9 good fruits. And we've looked at these today. Let's bow and pray. Father God, I thank you that you have not just planted each one of us and just let us go grow wild, but you have come as a gardener to our tree. And in the Word of God, you have told us how we can nourish our tree by staying in the Word. You've told us how that if we want to produce fruit, we've got to stay grafted close into the vine, and that Jesus is the vine. You've showed us principles in the Word of God, how we can produce the good fruit. And you've also shown us that the very nature of God is a God who has these fruits. And as we have been created in the image of God, we can produce these fruits by the work of the Holy Spirit. And for the two that we've looked at today, the patience or the long-suffering and the kindness or the gentleness, we pray, God, that you would just help us this week to bear the fruit so that not only will we be blessed, but those that receive the fruit will also be nourished and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.